Airdrie breads over the last 4 years include Champion Proud Spell, Champion Biofuel, Champion 2 Indy Wee, Grade 1 winner Believe You Can, Grade 1 winner Include Me Out, Grade 1 winner Summer Soiree, Grade 1 winner No Such Word, Grade 1 winner Check the Label, plus winners of major stakes from coast to coast. Too many to mention here. Reasons enough to go to Barn 20 to check out the Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud Consignment, A.A. Wienlands by Proud Citizen, Majestic Perfection, Divine Park, Brother Derek, Canadian Frontier, Include, and Flashy Bull, raised on the land where so many top stakes winners first saw the light of day. There, too, are mares enfolded, Divine Park, Brother Derek, and Jockey Club Gold Cup winner Haynesfield. The latter, a mare, she's by Mizzen Mass, sire of the winners of two Breeders' Cup races last weekend, and a half-sister to the winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Once again, they're in Barn 20, and they sell tomorrow at Keeneland. Then, on Thursday, go to Barn 20, same barn, for more weanlings raised at Airdrie Stud, where the land's alive. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone. Kind of a busy morning here at the clocker stand at the Thoroughbred Center. I think we've 70, what, over there?
Oh, he's like 69.
Is that all? Well, one short of 70. Somebody get out there and work one. Okay. Anyway, it was a fun morning. We started early and pretty steady all the way through. And but anyway, we got it done. Shannon Wolfram's going to come on the air. Shannon, here comes Ann. And Jackie just left. You take them over there. All right. Shannon
Wolfram.
I don't
think Jackie's left yet.
Oh, hadn't she? Yes, she has.
Jackie started.
But Jackie stopped. We have to hand the works over to Ann here, and I think they crossed paths. But we'll see. Either that or I screwed it up as usual. I don't know. What the hell? Anyway, Shannon Wolfram's going to come on at the top of the hour, a little before the top of the hour. He has to get home. I've been trying to track him down for the last month. Finally nailed him. He ran out of excuses, I think. I met Shannon many, many years ago when he was managing Northridge. Which, of course, is now Vinery. Anyway, he's going to be here. Michael's here. Michael Blowen's here. Going to take a look at... I want to say something a little bit about Cozine, because Mizzen Mass are two stakes winners, Breeders' Cup winners over the weekend. That's very good. I'm really proud of that because I said on the air last week, before the second one, I said he was a very underrated stud.
No more.
No more. No, that's really good. Anyway, but it's a very interesting sire line, Mizzen Mass. It's by Cozine, it's by Cairo, it's by Fortino. And it's an interesting sire line, so I want to talk a little bit about that. Joe Palmer, if we've got a chance, Jackie's announcements when she gets here. And I've got Michael Blowen here with me now. Tried to call Doug Byers yesterday, and his voice box was full, or message box was full, whatever the darn thing is. Anyway, he wouldn't answer, and I'm sure he's... I talked to him about a week ago, and Michael, you've picked up something here recently on him, haven't
well,
you?
Just Carrie Simon, Dr. Simon's wife, they're taking care of Doug's farm and the house and everything. And he's back in physical therapy, and he hopes to be home by the end of the week.
Well, you know, Doc, he's got the bit in his
really,
teeth.
He keeps doing these, you know, 3 furlong breezes, and he's ready for a race.
Yeah, and then wants to run 2 miles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, clearly, listeners to this show miss him as much as we do because he's a great friend and one of the most wonderful people I know. So. And very knowledgeable, so.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait to get him back. And he can't wait to do the show. He keeps calling up and apologizing for missing the show.
I know. Bless his heart.
Yeah.
But yeah, I miss him more than you do. But because he sure moves me.
Oh, no, I miss him more than you.
Maybe he does your vet work for free, for kind of like. Well, he does the show for free, too.
Hey, we named a street after him. The only named street at Old Friends is Byers Way.
Well, I never did name our farm, our little farm out there.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I was going to name it.
He only charged you $5,000. grenade privileges, you know, like the stadiums.
I was going to name it after our loan company, but we got the loan paid off. Now to heck with them. On the farm.
That's funny. Well, we had a great time last Saturday, last Sunday, rather, at Lane's End. We had friends, they incorporated old friends into their fan appreciation day, and it couldn't have gone better. Mm-hmm. They gave us all the hats from all the stallions to sell for a $10 donation. And we met a lot of really, really nice people. And I ran to Mr. Farish in the barn, Senior Mr. Farish, and told him that we're standing next to AP Indy. I said, hey, when's he coming over?
Oh, what'd he say?
He said, well, he's part of the family.
You see?
Yeah. But he likes what's happening with Gulch, and he was very complimentary, and we had a nice conversation. And then, of course, a lot of the fans of their stallions and of old friends were there. And Lexi did a great job, and Joyce did a great job, and Barbara and Beth, our volunteers, were there, and they did a great job. It was really, really a lot of fun.
Did they have a nice crowd?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
Steve Ortmeyer came.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Discussed a little football stuff, little football stuff. It was Kentucky football. Not any a topic that he was really excited about talking about, but he did for a few minutes.
I know. That would have depressed everybody.
Oh, this is a cool thing that happened the other day at the farm. A really nice group came on a tour and gave him a little tour. And at the end of the tour, I was talking to one of the gentlemen, and he said, you know, I'm a physical therapist, and I work with a lot of athletes, and a lot of the medicines and that we use to massage these athletes with were first developed as horse liniments. And so we started talking back and forth, and I said, oh, and I saw that his wife had a Green Bay Packer shirt on. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, where do you practice up there in Green Bay? And he said, yes. And I said, well, I said, do you ever work on any of the Packers? And he goes, yeah. He said, I take care of my son. I work on him. I said, who's that? He goes, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh.
His other son's the quarterback for Vanderbilt.
Yeah, and a good one.
Yeah. So he came down here. And anyway, he said after the football season was over, he's going to bring Aaron and the family back and hang out at the farm a little.
Oh, well, that's good.
So, I'll give him a little help with his technique. You know, his release point's really not where it should be.
I've kind of become a Green Bay fan. That kid from Kentucky that plays up there.
Yeah, Randall Cobb.
Yeah, I kind of followed him. You know,
playing great.
Yeah, he's really having a good year, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. Figure two. The kid was quite an athlete.
I know. You got to go back 3 years to say something positive about somebody talking to you football.
It's been 3 years,
I guess.
It has, hasn't it? Yeah, because this is his second year in the pros.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, the basketball team won last night. Now, there's something positive.
That's a squeaker.
Yeah, well, what the heck? I watched the first half and then just taped the second, so I'll watch the rest later. But
John Calipari's going to treat this team like they lost by 20 points.
Oh, I know. Well, you can tell. They're
going to be running laps like we used to have to in high school.
You can see the talent. But they're not playing together yet.
Not yet, no.
Making a lot of mistakes and fouling. Lord have mercy, they were all going to foul out if they kept going.
Yeah, that's true.
In the first 9 minutes, there were four of them sitting on the bench.
I know. Calipari was getting balled by the second.
Well, the little
kid was just balling out.
The little kid from down in Nicholasville, Poulsen, came in and saved him, I guess.
Played really well.
Didn't have a turnover.
No. No, you can see him gelling, and everybody knows these aren't the games that really count.
Yeah.
This is where you learn.
If you're going to beat them this year, you better catch them early, I think.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing is they're doing this great thing at Churchill Downs tomorrow where they're going to parade four or five of the Breeders' Cup champions.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try and get up there and see that because I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Wise Dan's going to be there. And
Groupie Doll.
Groupie Doll. She's going to the farm, I understand, for a while.
Think Misdirection's still up there?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Boy, she ran a heck of a race.
Whew.
She came out of nowhere.
Nowhere.
Yeah. And beating the boys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, that was great. Jim Rome's horse.
Yeah, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's out going crazy on his show about his horse now. So that's really what we need. You know, you get these people in the sports. I mean, you try to get ESPN or some of these other people to cover it, and it's brutal. But you get somebody who's actively involved who's got one of those shows, and all of a sudden,
well, getting back to that, on Breeders' Cup Day, we watched it on HRTV. I don't even know where to find that other station of NBC.
NBC Sports, yeah.
I don't. Where is it?
I forget what number it is on the dish, but it's
Is it on the dish?
Yes.
Well, I looked around and everything. I said, well, heck,
I'm not. It's way up in the stratosphere somewhere. I forget what number it is.
Yeah, and then, of course, just the classic is the only one that.
Yeah, and somebody told me I didn't see the coverage on TV because I was at Keeneland. But somebody told me that they did a piece on a bunch of people reading the racing form. One of the people that was reading the racing form had an old friend's hat on.
Oh, is that?
I missed it, too.
On NBC?
Maybe they're lying.
On NBC?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
The hour show that they
had. Yeah, they did a great job.
Yeah, it was real good. Yeah. Of course, that's Tom.
Yeah.
You know, he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, they have good producers at NBC, too. We just need a little bit more, a few more races. I still liked it better when it was all day, and they showed it all day, all afternoon long on NBC, and it was one day.
Yeah.
But
me, too.
I'm getting old. I guess everything was better late yesterday than it is tomorrow.
Yeah.
Getting a little crotchety. I don't know.
You noticed that. Oh, well, me too. And you noticed that, I'm sure.
Yes.
All right. Well, let me take a break here. Jackie went to turn in the works. Did you tell Ann that she'd gone?
She didn't even come up here next.
She gave them to her? Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well. All right. Well, November 3 at Churchill Downs, the grade $250,000 Chalooki Stakes was won by Brush by a Star, 4-year-old filly by Eddington. Bred by Desmond Ryan, Barry Donworth, and Ken Donworth, Brush by a Star posted a third 2012 stakes win in the Chalooki. She won the Grade 2 Molly Pitcher Handicap in the Iowa Distaff earlier this year. She's earned more than $441,000. Eddington has sired five 2012 stakes winners, three of them graded stakes winners. Brush by a Star, Secret Circle, and Gold Edge. Secret Circle has won the Grade 2 Rebel Stakes and the Grade 3 Southwest Stakes, both at Oaklawn. Finished second in the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby and the Grade 3 Sham Stakes at Santa Anita. And he won stakes at Santa Anita last year. He's earned over $1 million. And the 2-year-old filly Gold Edge won two stakes at Arlington Park, including the Grade 2 Arlington Washington Lassie. Eddington, a Grade 1 stakes winner of over $1,216,000. And a son of Unbridled stands at Claiborne Farm for $5,000. Due in the fold stands and nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams. And see the website at claibonfarm.com.
Sally Van Services has been in business for more than 60 years. And during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally Van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
I want to say a little something about my friends over at Bluegrass Equine Center over in Salvisa, Kentucky. You know, it's just a short drive from here and a short drive from Louisville, as far as that goes. So it's pretty central kind of a location. They have great facilities over there for all breaking and training horses, horses coming off surgery, rehab, just refreshing one. It's kind of a quiet location down there. Horses go down there and unwind, and they've got really high-quality facilities. They've got an aqua tread and a hyperbaric oxygen chamber. There's a 5-furlong dirt track. There's a really nice turf gallop. They've raised some very good horses over there, but roughly one-fourth of their starts, the graduates there have won just about a fourth of the starts and been in the money about half the time, 50% of the time. Johar, you know, who won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, Dixiana Futurity went in the Juvenile Turf. As a Grade 1 stakes winner out that Keeneland, of course, got his early lessons there. I'm going to give you their cell phone. Got two numbers here for them. You can call them at, it's an 859 number, 865-2133, or it's bluegrasssec.com. Bluegrasssec.com is their website. It's Alan Kershaw, who, of course, was over at Gainsborough Farm for many years, farm man. He was a farm man of the year one time, and he knows his stuff. And Chuck Simon is the trainer. And it's let me give it to you one more time. It's bluegrasssec.com. Great place to send your horses. And so give them a call down there. The number again, 865-2133. All right. You reading racing form, old buddy?
Yes. I know it's yours. I promise not to steal it. Well, when you get free ones, why don't you say you want two free ones? Say it's for somebody else or something. Tell me you want two free ones. Tell them it's for your assistant.
Jackie's my assistant.
Oh, okay. Sorry. What's the level below an assistant?
Yeah.
Whatever it is, that's where I am.
What, have you got a loser of the week? Have you picked your loser of the week?
No.
Oh, how did you do at the Breeders' Cup then?
Ooh.
Change of subject.
Very nice. Well, that was my 10-cent super because I keyed a horse fourth, and he just barely finished fourth by a nostril. And the 10-cents, and I had the trifecta in that race and the superfecta in the race, and the trifecta came back $1,900, and the 10-cent super came back $1,200.
Mm. You had them?
Mm-hmm. It was great, too, because the ticket only cost me $8.60 for the 10-cent super.
I'm sorry I asked.
I bet you are. And I could go buy some extra bottles of old friend's bourbon.
There you go.
And celebrate. My friend John Boddy, who's a trainer that helped us get this wonderful mare, Our Revival. I think I told the story of Our Revival. She was one of the mares down at Dallas Keene's wife, Donna Keene's farm down in Texas that they needed to find homes for. And she was John Boddy's horse. And the funny thing about it is in 2006, John brought her to Keeneland, and he handed me a $50 win ticket on her, and he said, if she wins, just give the money to old friends. And she won. I think she paid like $13 or $14. Mm. So that was great. And then, you know, 6 years later, she ends up in a troubled situation. We tracked her down and found her and brought her here, so he's coming to see her tomorrow.
Oh, that's neat.
So 6 years later, we're finally paying her back.
Yeah.
It took a while. Yeah. Kind of like my debt people, you know what I mean? It'll take a while, but eventually you'll get it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah. Who's this young lady out here?
Is that Kathy?
I don't know. Come on in, Kathy.
It is. This is Kathy Riccio.
Oh, come on.
She works for Dr. Allday. She represents Luberson and Reborn, and she's worked for a whole bunch of trainers, and she could probably tell you some stories if you gave her a little bourbon
first. Sit down. Well, you got the bourbon. He's got the bourbon, doesn't he, Kathy?
Good morning.
Kathy Riccio.
How are you? Everybody?
Doing good.
Kathy was a Broadway star, too. Did you know that?
No.
Yes.
What'd you star in?
Well, I wasn't actually a star. I had a very small part in a play called Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. It was the 1974 revival.
Oh, I bet you were the Elizabeth Taylor part.
No, I don't think so. I was a child. I was one of the no-neck monsters. Their fat little heads and on their fat little bodies without a bit of connection. That was what the line was. Elizabeth Ashley said that to us.
It's a great play.
I'll tell you what, Kathy, I know you were in it and everything. Congratulations. But that was a very depressing play.
I know. And then
I like Big Daddy.
And then I was in a movie with Brooke Shields. It was kind of a...
What was she like?
She was great. We were only like 11 and 12. But the funny thing is, I had this little part in this movie, and then 20, 30 years later, I'm in the winner's circle at Hollywood Park, and who presented the trophy to the Hollywood Turf Cup to our horse was Brooke Shields.
Oh.
So it was really neat because I got to take a picture with her and Paco.
Did she remember you?
Yes.
Oh,
I looked up and I called her name. Karen Spodges, because that was her name in the movie. And she's like, oh my God, Angela.
Yeah.
And she was like so happy to see me. And the movie was like made in condemned buildings because there was no budget behind it. So we made it in Paterson, New Jersey and all these old places. Yeah. But it was just a lot of fun. And it was like her first movie before she ended up becoming a star.
Oh, yeah. So gorgeous girl.
Beautiful. Yeah. And up close, just as pretty as... and doesn't, I don't think she wears much makeup. I mean, when I saw her.
Yeah,
she's very nice.
Yeah. I was never
her mother just died
enough to get up close.
Yes,
or earlier this week.
You would have liked that, wouldn't you? Super, super nice lady.
Well, whose horse did you have in the winter circle?
I worked for years for John Toffin and Trudy McCaffrey.
Oh, when did you know?
Paco Gonzalez, the trainer.
Mm-hmm. Who?
I'm actually visiting. His brother Sal has one little horse here that he's playing around with.
Oh, I didn't
yeah,
know that.
Just a little maiden that they raised on the farm.
Yeah.
The horse's name is Little Matador.
They haven't breezed him yet.
No, not yet. No, he's got a little bit of stuff going on. You know, the old, when you don't work out and then you work out, everything hurts. You know, but what do? You don't stop working out. You got to keep going. So that's the stage he's at right now.
Yeah.
But he looks very well.
2 year old.
Three-year-old. They gave him some time off.
And what's his name again?
The horse's name is Little Matador.
No, the man's name.
Oh, Sal Gonzalez.
Sal Gonzalez.
Yeah. His son is a jockey.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, his name is Sal, too.
Correct.
Oh,
correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice kid. Very nice.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. He had a second yesterday for somebody over here, and I think it paid pretty decent.
I haven't seen him out here lately, but I guess.
Yeah. Well, you know, luckily about Kentucky, there's so many places to cover. He's probably here a couple of days, and then he goes to Churchill. And,
yeah, well, you know, he used to be here on a regular basis.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he just got Steve Elzey as his agent. So
okay.
I think, you know, cross our fingers, I think they're both going to really thrive off each other and do well together.
Man,
you know,
Steve's something else.
Isn't he, though? But he's got that touch, though. I mean, people ride him. They give him horses. I mean,
I remember when he had, at the same time, Jamie Bruin and Jack Nagle.
Wow.
And they were winning everything.
Yeah.
I used to ride Jack all the time.
Right, right.
And then Jamie's out here galloping horse tonight.
I saw that.
About 50 pounds later, here he is.
But at least, God bless him, he's still riding. I gave him a leg up at Mountaineer Park about 10, 12 years ago, and the poor guy, you know how we are, how our old horse people are. You can barely walk, but man, you can ride. You know,
he can still ride.
The jockeys are funny that way.
Yeah, he can.
Hell of a ride.
As long as they get up on the horse, they're okay.
You know, and he loves it.
Yeah,
that's what he does when he leaves here.
That's what keeps you young.
Yeah. I had him on the show. He was funny. You know, he is funny.
Yeah.
He's always got a dirty joke for you. I can't tell any of them.
No. This is a PG.
You know the CD we did?
Yes.
You know, on the cover with the horse winning?
Yes.
That's Jamie on the horse.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it's on the filly that, I tell you what happened. Tell you a little story about that. I always named Jack Nagle. Uh-huh. Jack was mad at me for some reason. We'd taken.
I can't imagine that.
I know the reason. I had taken a filly that he'd got on me. On a couple of times for me, and we wanted to win a little bit, so we took her up to Beulah Park, and I didn't name. I knew Jack wasn't going to go to Beulah Park. I mean, he would have been insulted if I'd asked him, but she paid $42.
Now he's really insulted.
Now he's really insulted. Yeah.
So anyway, I think Jack was mad because I didn't tell him. Well, I just forgot.
Yeah.
You know. So
he wanted to up the price. If he puts an eagle on him, it's only going to pay half of that.
Yeah.
This is true.
Well, that might be true. But I forget who we rode up there now. Dale Sexton. I don't know if you remember Dale.
Before my time.
Anyway, I put the horse back in down at Turfway.
Uh-huh.
And I named Jack. Mm-hmm. And I just assumed Jack was going to ride her, you know. And I went down there, and the clerk of scales called me and says, I had to put another rider on. Jack had something else in the race, you know. He'd been riding for, you know.
Yeah.
I said, okay. He says, who'd you put on? He said, I put the leading rider on. He said, Jamie Bruin's going to ride it. I said, well, that's great. But you paid $25 that day.
Wow.
No, Jack was probably crying.
Well, he can't remember a lot of things, but he remembers this stuff, doesn't he?
It's
unbelievable.
These are the ones.
The numbers and the names.
But Jack is wonderful, you know. He always, I really love to ride Jack Nagle because he always tried to, you know, you knew he was riding for a poor man, and he'd ride just as hard for fourth money as he was to win.
Exactly.
And
he used to ride up at Suffolk when we used to sit in a handicap up there. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I still have some racing programs with his name. When Carl Gambardella was the leading rider, and he was up there, and Vernon Bush.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite.
Vernon Bush.
I know.
Vernon fell off a 6-5 shot first down at River Downs.
Ouch.
He did?
Come out of the gate. Well, his horse stumbled and he went over his head.
Oh,
so we put the, this is another good story. We put the horse back in and, he rode going a mile 16th and he went to the front with him. And the horse got a little tired, you know, and finished fourth or something like that. Anyway, got him beat. And it was this big guy walking down there with a beer, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And when Bush came back on the horse, he threw that beer on the ground. He said, "You S.O.P."
Yeah,
says, "You rode him better when you fell off."
That was when the riding started.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Vernon.
Well, I'll tell you my Vernon story.
He's still riding.
Yeah, I know.
God, he's older than me.
Bill Perry.
I know, but he's old.
Billy Perry was one of my favorite trainers of all time. Uh-huh. He was a great trainer out of Suffolk. I think he trained Foreman Gold. That was his best horse. Mm-hmm. And he's a really, really good trainer. I mean, it would be February, and there would only be two trainers out there watching their horses work, and he'd always be one of them. I mean, it didn't make any difference. And he's a great guy. Unfortunately, he has Parkinson's disease now, and he's retired. But I remember one time Vernon rode one of his horses, might have been a $5,000 climber, and Vernon rode this horse as if he was Willie Shoemaker. I mean, he gave this horse a perfect ride and got up just in time to win by a nose. And I was with Carlos at the time, and I'm in the unsaddling area, and here comes Vernon back with the horse. They get their winner picture. He hops off the horse, and Billy Perry looks right at him, and he goes, "Vernon, how could somebody be such a genius on a horse, and as soon as their feet hit the ground, they're an idiot?"
Oh, that's a low blow.
It was accurate.
I guess he's one of the leading riders up
there. Yeah, he is. He is. Yeah. He's unbelievable.
He and the little girl from here.
Amanda?
Davis.
Jackie Davis. Yeah.
Robbie's daughter.
Yeah, Robbie's daughter. She went through the jockey school here.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, she was one. Let me take a break and I'll get back to you guys. All right. I have to pay the bills, you know.
You do? Yes. You're going to talk about one of my favorite horses.
Which one?
Misdirection.
Oh, okay. Well, that was an impressive win.
Yeah, I should say.
I love it. Made me look good because I touted the daddy the week before, the day before. That day.
Cozine.
I get it right, yeah. No.
No?
Misdirection's dad, Mizzen Mass.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, anyway, I'm going to do it again.
Back to Cozine.
Yeah, right. Who's by?
Carol.
Who's by?
Easy.
Fortino.
Yeah, but...
Carol had to ride the trails, right?
Misdirection out of a Grostock mare, too.
Yeah, well, okay. All right, well, misdirection...
Go that way for a second.
Shut up a minute, will you? Misdirection, winner of the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, and Flotilla, winner of the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf, were both sired by Mizzen Mass. Misdirection was the only filly in the field of 14 for the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. She came from 5 wide to win, missing the course record for 6.5 furlongs by just 1/5 of a second, 111-1. Never out of the money in 12 starts, Misdirection has won 7 times, 5 stakes, has earned over $914,000. Flotilla was making her first start in the USA. Foaled in France, she went into the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf off of 4th, beating a length and a half after a trouble trip in Group 1 stakes. She won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf, going away by a length and a quarter over 13 other well-bred fillies. Mizzen Mass is now side 5 Grade 1 stakes winners. A Grade 1 stakes winner sprinting on the dirt, Mizzen Mass stands at Judmont Farm, home also first defense, sire in his first crop of Dundonnell, winner of the Group 3 Acorn, second in the Group 2 Champagne, and fourth of 14 in the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. To book a mare for 2013, contact Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry at Judmont Farm. See the website at judmont.com. I want to talk a little bit about my good friend Tom Biedemann, Biedemann Real Estate and Auctioneers, and his website is BiedemannBrokerage.com. I better spell Biedemann for you. Took me a long time to realize how to do it. It's BIEDERMAN and Brokerage.com. He's got some great places for sale. Over they got one right out here on Paris Pike. It's a wonderful place, facility. It's right next to the training center right here. Got a lovely house on it. great barn and access to the training center. Can't go wrong if you want to train. Got a place over on Greenwich. It's close to where we live. 323 acres, 100 stalls. There's a training barn, a breeding complex, four houses. He's got places all over the central Kentucky. And he gets it done. I know at least three farms that he's sold in just in the last couple of months. And Tom just gets the job done. He's got great people working for him as far as that goes. And once again, that's Tom Biederman, Real Estate and Auctioneers. Phone number is 277-2030. You can't miss it. So if you're thinking to sell, or if you're looking for a good place, he's a horseman. He knows what you need and what you look for, and he'll find something in your price range. It's Tom Biederman, BiedermanBrokerage.com. Well, Miz and Mast are the winners of two Breeders' Cup races last week. If you want to marry and fold a Miz and Mast, go to Pope McLean's Consignment in Barn 89 and look at hip number 1521. She's a young daughter of Empire Maker. Out of a stakes winner and stakes producer. There, too, you will find mares with top pedigrees and fold a Tail of the Cat and Discreetly Mine, Weanlings by Quality Road, Warrior's Reward, Super Saver, Majestic Perfection. Then on Monday, move over to Barn 38 and see Weanlings by Tis Deja Vu. That's his first crop, you know. Macho Uno, Flatter, Discreetly Mine, Successful Appeal in Flower Alley, plus well-bred mares and fold a champion, Gio Ponte. Reddy's Image, Thunder Gulch. While they're asking about the two new stallions at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Grade 1 stakes winner Get Stormy and multiple stakes winner Country Day. Get Stormy won three Grade 1 stakes and over $1,600,000. He's the son of nationally ranked Stormy Atlantic. Country Day is by the leading sire Spitestown. He won three stakes, placed in greatest stakes, and earned over $500,000. Both are ready for inspection. Just contact the farm, the number 252-3770. Check the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All righty. Well, I'm talking to Michael Blown and Kathy Riccio. Kathy, where are you from? How'd you get in a horse bed?
I'm originally from New York.
We'll excuse that.
Grew up in Long Island.
Did you?
Yeah, grew up in Long Island. Like I said, I did the show Broadway thing, and then I was taking a tap dancing lesson in Phil Black's dance studio. I was about 11 years old, and I looked up at the TV, and I saw Secretariat winning. And I just stopped dancing, and it was like a group class. And this guy was very regimented with the cane. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, keep going, keep going. I mean, just getting on me. And he yelled at my mother, she just stopped dancing. What's wrong with her? And I just, my eyes were glued to that television watching Secretariat. And after that, I said, that's where I'm going to end up.
Which race was it?
It was the Belmont Stakes.
Uh-huh.
It was middle of June.
So that hooked a lot of people.
Yeah. So from there,
how old were you then?
I was only about 11.
Okay.
Got through school, you know, treaded water. I hated school. I just wanted to go to the racetrack. I started walking.
I can relate to that.
Yeah. Started walking horses on the weekends for somebody just to have us pass to get in the gate. And then my first job on the racetrack was with David Whiteley when he was training with Calumet Farm.
Uh-huh.
And Frank, of course, was overseeing the whole thing. So that was the best education anybody that – a kid growing up in the city and not a horse person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he made sure those horses were fine for me to walk. He was very, very careful, made sure I learned everything the correct and proper way and not do things, you know, that would get me hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm
kid. Looking out after you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's a very good man. And I met a good friend there working with Jimmy Baker, who now trains at Churchill. He was the assistant, so he really took me under his wing and showed me the ropes. And I stayed there for about 2 years. Then I wanted to groom because I think I knew something. And then I rubbed horses for this gentleman, and the horses, I don't think they were very broke. Well, guess what? I went back to David Whiteley.
Did you?
Yeah. And then I worked for Shug for a little bit.
Who'd Shug have at that time?
Phil Hoswell was his assistant, and he had a good horse called Van Landingham.
Oh, yeah.
And another good horse called Pine Circle.
Uh-huh.
And Mary Jane was his assistant at the time, and she kind of took me under the wing. That was his ex-wife and former assistant. And she took me under her wing, and she just, you know, took care of me, too. And then I I wanted to travel, so I remember coming to Kentucky in 1984 and saying this is going to be my home one day. I just loved it so much. It was just a great way of life and just away from the hustle and bustle of New York, and I just really enjoyed it. So that was, at least I met my goal.
Yeah.
After going to California for 7 years and then coming back.
Who were you with out there?
Paco Gonzalez the whole time.
Oh, the whole time.
Yeah. He hired me to do the Break the Babies at Pomona, and I ended up being his main assistant for about six years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also worked part-time for HRTV, which I still do.
No, do you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just got back from Breeders' Cup.
She's the one that does the tap dancing.
Yeah, I understood.
Did the tap dancing.
No, on HRTV?
No, I don't do any tap dancing on HRTV. I stay behind the scenes. I don't. I have a face for radio.
Yeah, me too. That's for sure.
So
how long have you been living back here?
I've been living back here since 2004. I came back from California. I got a job with Dallas Stewart, and I ran the shed for him for about 2 years. We had Lemons Forever, Silverfoot, Multivita, Hot Storm, just a bunch of good horses. Had a nice string for Overbrook, and I would always have a second string, like either Arkansas or Fairgrounds, or I did the string at Keeneland.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went to work for Wayne Lucas, who I had worked for in the 80s. Stayed with him for a couple of years, and then I decided that I didn't want to travel anymore, so I stayed in Louisville, and then I roundabout way I got to work for Dr. Alday with the Luberson, and I stay here year-round.
Okay.
But I still have to dabble with the horses.
Now, do you travel with his vet practice?
Sometimes. Not with the vet practice, with the product.
Oh, I see.
To certain trade shows. Like the first week of December, I'm going to go to the AAEP convention, the Association for Equine Practitioners. It's in Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have just a little booth there explaining to anybody that's wanting to know more about our products. And
tell me a little more about the product right here.
Okay, well, Luberson was created by Dr. Stephen Alday, and it is a joint supplement, and he's got a patent on a very high molecular weight of the product. So, in other words, what that product is doing every day that you take it, it helps build the HA in your system that's already there back up to level. You know, as we train, as we get old, we age, the joint fluid in our joints just breaks down over a period of time.
And, tell me about it.
And of course, exactly. I know my knees are shot. All those ACE bandages I used to have to put on for 40 years.
Now you're using them.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Now that's why I went to work for them, because I wanted to use Luberson and not pay for it. The little perks of the job.
Did it help you?
Yes, it does. God, it's the only thing that helped me. About 5 years ago, I was in New Orleans. I was running the shed for Thornberry.
And
I remember putting bandages on going, good Lord, I can't do it anymore. And Dick Lundy, another former boss of mine,
you've been with everybody.
I got a lot of W-9s. So Mr. Lundy had told me about it, and I said, I'll try anything at this point. And it really does work. It really does work. So anyway, in a roundabout way, they ended up hiring me in the office, and I do some traveling with the company, and they let me still dab a little bit with HRTV. They're very, very good people to work for.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a second family to me.
Oh, that's good. He seemed like a nice guy. He was in here several weeks ago.
Yes. He's a hell of a doctor. He's very – right now his practice is just limited to lameness diagnosis. He does a lot of work for Todd Pletcher, and he's been to California with Bob Baffert. Worked on his horses. I mean, he works for Tony Dutrow. You know, just a select group that he'll still do some work with. He enjoys it. And then on the weekends, he goes and does the team roping thing. He likes doing that.
Is that right?
Yes. He's a little cowboy, and when we're not looking at him in the...
Well, he didn't strike me as the cowboy type.
I know. But he loves it. He loves it. Him and his wife, they have a beautiful farm in Shelbyville, and he built an arena, and he just goes over there and messes with his horses and his cows, and he's happy as can be.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
We'll have to take another break.
All right. I have a bulletin I have to issue before I leave from McCarran. From Chris McCarran, the head of the North American Riding Academy.
Never heard of him. Go ahead.
Well, he's bragging about two of his students.
Uh-oh.
Jackie Davis.
Tell him to get his behind over here.
Well,
to brag about
him. You know, he's got bigger fish to fry today. Oh, you know, he'll come over. But anyway, Jackie Davis and Andrew Wolfson, two of his graduates, are, as we speak, are riding over in Abu Dhabi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's great.
There's an all-female race that Jackie's in, going a mile on the grass, and same thing with Andrew, an all-male race. So it's pretty exciting.
That's great. Jackie was a sweetheart.
She's a very good writer. I think she was the leading writer again at Suffolk Downs.
Well, top five anyway.
Yeah.
But she almost hardly ever misses a day. If you want to talk about, you'll have to talk to Jackie, Kathy.
Yeah.
Because
I'm going to run.
You're going to run?
It was lovely chatting with you.
Well, nice talking to you.
And I got
to get Shannon Wolfram on over here.
Okay, yes, we'll get Shannon.
I admire his haircut. Don't you like Shannon's haircut?
I'm working that way, Shannon. Great club to belong to.
Don't you think
that?
I never have a bad hair day.
That's right. No strange history. Well, listen, thank you so much for having me, and I will be talking to you.
Okay, you can talk to Jackie. Okay. She'll help you however you want to.
All right, Ursula, I'm going back to a couple of tours. We got a nice day today, and we got a lady coming from Kentucky Home and Garden.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Who's going to tour the farm and inspect it to make sure our flowers are in order.
All right. Your flowers in order.
Give her some four roses.
Yeah, four roses.
Well, that's a great idea, Rusty. Yep, that's what we'll do. Four roses for you. One, two, three, four.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
All right, so see you next week.
All right. I'll pay a bill. Come on, sit down over here, Shannon. I'm going to do a commercial set here, and we'll get with you. Well, Mooston Farr is compiling an impressive record for siring hard-hitting winners. From 9 first crop starters, 5 have won, 2 others have placed. Mothiba has won 5 times in Europe and was placed in listed stakes. Groom of Doom won a maiden special in Mountaineer, won again the same track, placed on 5 other occasions. Fortune Afar won a maiden special and was placed 5 times, 4 times at Oaklawn. Ms. Mooston Farr won a maiden special first time out and has 2 wins and a pair of thirds. Mukumar also won a maiden special, came back to take an allowance race, and has been second 4 times. Must Be Sweet placed 3rd in a 3rd start, and she's just sitting on a win. And Ragazza Prevail ran 2nd in his debut on October 22. Now, for those of you who breed to race, Mooston Farr could be the answer to your prayers. He's siring hard-hitting runners, and he stands for a very reasonable stud fee. He's a graded stakes winner at Belmont and Keeneland. Grade 1 place. He earned over $625,000. He's buying bridle. Stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes over at Shadwell. Give him a call over there. Check the website, shadwellfarm.com. Quillen Tack and Leather, my good friends down in Paris, Kentucky. You ever go to Quillen, Shannon?
Well, I went to school with Ralph.
You went to school?
Sure did. I went to school with Ralph many years ago.
Both of you survived, I see.
We did, yeah. I think he's doing a little better than we are, but my gosh, I haven't seen him in years, but he was a dear friend, and he'll tell us. I tell a story when we were seniors at Sayre. He used to drive, I think it was a 1938 Packard to school. That was his car.
Is that right?
Quite a car, let me tell you. And all these other kids were having GTOs and Dodge Chargers. Ralph came in that old Packard.
In a 38 Packard.
Yeah, 38 Packard.
I drove to New Orleans in a 39 Packard with 6 other guys once to go down and watch the Sugar Bowl when Kentucky beat Oklahoma.
Well, that was the glory days.
Yeah, those were the glory days, right. But coming back, the brakes went out. We were coasting up hills and dragging our feet.
Going through Tennessee would have been a lot of fun.
But we made it. Yeah. We made it. Well, anyway. Well, Ralph Quillen has Quillen Leather and Tack. And this is the nation's largest custom halter shop. They ship over, 17,000 halters a year that they sell out of there. Give a lot of them away to people like old friends and everything. Got a great shop down there, a great gift shop, great leather. Everything's first class. I mean, absolutely the best. And they're really nice people to do business with. You can get pet collars and pet leashes and you need to get your wife can get you a collar if she's going to put one on you and lead you around, and belts and so forth. I mean, it's really Christmas coming up. It's a great place to go and shop. So I would recommend that you go to Quillen Leather and Tack in Paris, and it's going into Paris from the Lexington area. It's the 3rd stoplight on your left. Can't miss it. Right across from Ken's new market, which is a grocery store down there. And their website is quillin.com, Quillin.com. Well, Shanghai Bobby, winner of the Grade 1 $2 million Grey Goose Breeders' Cup Juvenile and the odds-on favorite to garner the Eclipse Award as champion two-year-old colt, he's by Harlan's Holiday. Undefeated in five starts, Shanghai Bobby has won, in addition to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, the Grade 1 Champagne, the Grade 2 Hopeful, and the Track Baron Stakes, won his career debut at Aqueduct. Bred in Kentucky by Stonehaven Steading, sold as a yearling for $105,000. He's now earned $1,687,000. Now, Harlan's Holiday is the sire of 13 2012 stakes winners, four of them graded stakes winners, and the earners are over $6.6 million. Ranks ninth on the 2012 sire list among stallions now at stud in the USA. Five of his 13 2012 stakes winners are two-year-olds, and he's the number one ranked sire on the two-year-old sire list. Now, in other stakes last week, Grade 2 $200,000 Red Smith at Aqueduct was won by Boisterous, a five-year-old horse by Distorted Humor, and the Smart Halo Stakes at Laura went to Lighthouse Bay, two-year-old Philip of Spitestown. Like Harlan's Holiday, Spitestown and Distorted Humor ranked among the top 10 on the sire list. All three are at Windstar Farm. To book a mare to a Windstar stallion, call Jerry Duffy or Leona Packard, 873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty, I'm talking to Shannon Wolf. From Shannon and I go back a ways. You were at Northridge when I first met you, I think.
Yeah, that's probably so. That was way back in, I believe I went to work for, at the time it was called Groves Trimble when I started there. I think that was 76.
That was Ann Trimble.
Ann Trimble and Mr. Groves. And that partnership, of course, fell by the wayside. And then it became Northridge, owned by S.J. Groves and Sons, which was the construction company that Mr. Groves headed.
Yeah.
I was there from 76 through about 83. So mm-hmm. It was a great time. And I worked for Mr. Groves on several occasions and was the best boss I ever had.
Is that right?
He was a first-class guy, and he loved to take care of quality horses. And he said, whatever we do, we're going to take care of these things and do it right. And that makes it a whole lot easier.
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah, are you a native of Lexington?
Yeah, not really. I don't want to say where I was born because then my – Kentucky ties would be a little upset, but it's north of here. But north of here. No, it's not a Buckeye. I guess you've got me. Hoosier. But the good news is before I got dried off, they had me in Kentucky.
Oh, did
they? Yeah. So I grew up here and went to school here. My mother taught at Sayre School. That's how come I got to go. And
Pony Club.
Yeah, and we've got some other stories that ties into who we've been with over the years. She taught so many of the kids around here that were sons and daughters of people in the horse industry. So,
yeah.
In fact, Buzzy Tenney, Shug McGahee, and I were in the same class. And old mom will go down.
They went to Sayre, too?
They went to Sayre.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and
I went through the fourth grade.
Did you?
Yeah, and then kicked me out and sent me to replicate.
Well, let me tell you what's funny. My mom, and I tell this story quite often. Of course, my son later worked with Buzzy and Shug for quite a while. But the fun part of it is my old mom had all three of us in Latin. Remember when you took Latin, something you were going to use going on? Well, the fun story about this, she flunked all three of us, Buzzy, Shug, and me. I think it was more for behavior than anything else.
Probably.
But she flunked us all, but we still talk about it.
Now, was Meg Thornton in your class, too?
You're behind me.
You're behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's fun. How did you get into the horse business?
Well,
your family really wasn't into horse business.
We were farmers, pretty much. My uncle raised Angus cattle in Ohio, and we always anyway, my dad decided that my brother needed something to encourage him to get more involved. I played sports, not that I was any good, but I enjoyed doing it, and so he bought my brother a pony.
Uh-huh.
And you know how this story goes.
Yeah.
One day the pony ran off with him and scraped him off on a barn door. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I inherited the pony, and that's where it all started.
To
the Keeneland Pony Club and going that route. And then as I worked my way through both high school and college, I spent all my time at Spendthrift Farm.
Did you go to UK?
Yeah, I graduated from UK, and that's where I met Dale, my wife, who everybody knows in this area.
Love Dale.
Yeah.
She's a class in your family.
Yeah, I get reminded of that quite often. and then our son, Graham, he graduated from UK. In fact, the fun part of that is that Graham had the same advisor in the College of Agriculture that Dale had.
Is that right?
That's old Dr. Ely. How old is he now?
Yeah. God, I don't know. I wouldn't.
But anyway, it's we're local and very proud to be part of Kentucky.
Well, yeah. What was your first job in the horse business?
Well, I actually showing hunters and jumpers, and then my dad said, "You got to start paying the bills on some of these things and helping out," because my father, you know, he sold janitorial supplies and had to work for every nickel.
Yeah.
Besides part-time farming. And so he took me over to Johnny Cinnamon, Spendthrift Farm.
Spendthrift.
And that's where I started.
Yeah.
And before it was all said and done, I...
What were you doing over there?
Did everything, from breaking yearlings to rubbing yearlings, worked in the breeding shed, uh-huh. Did it all.
And you got on yearling?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah,
on Gallop
Horse. Oh, yeah,
a lot. That's a few pounds ago.
Yeah, and then I even rode flat races and hunt meets for quite a while. And had a lot of fun doing that. So.
Yeah. What was it like working for Johnny?
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Great horseman.
Did you see Mr. Combs often?
Often.
Did you?
Often.
Yeah.
A lot. He got on my case one day. Johnny had sent me down to put some shipping bandages in. Of course, shipping time for yearlings was one of those really tight times. And he sent me down to put bandages on some yearlings. And so after I got done there, he said, "Get up that other barn and finish those up." So I started up running up across the grass. And Mr. Cobham saw me run on his grass.
Uh-oh.
He said, "Boy, get off my grass."
No.
I was shaking like a leaf, but I did make it back up to get the rest of the bandages on, but I'll never forget that. But Mr. Combs also was very good to me. He let me take horses over to the training center there on Russell Cave.
Russell Cave.
The old steeplechase horses, and we get to work them on
Johnny
the
Ward's old place.
Yeah.
No, not Johnny Ward.
Eric, well, it used to be Silver something Farm.
Doug Davis.
Yeah.
Had that to begin with.
Right.
Yeah.
And now I think Eric Reed's
out there now.
Yeah.
Part of it, because it's all divided up.
Sure.
But
it was a lot. So Spendthrift was very dear to my heart. I got my first paycheck still from Spendthrift. And that was 1967. And
you still got it?
I still got the
you
stub.
You didn't cash it?
Well, yeah, no, I got the stub. And
stub.
I thought I was rich. You know, these young people talk about what they make now and they're disappointed. Well, I can remember we worked 57 hours a week.
Uh-huh.
We got every other Sunday afternoon off, and I took home $51.
Yeah.
Thought I was wealthy.
That's about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my dad was glad to see that $51 come in every week.
So. Was he?
Yeah.
You didn't get to spend it.
Well, yeah, I did. But it was on horses and things of that nature. It wasn't on anything else.
Yeah. Well, that's fun. Well, what are you doing these days?
Well, we do a little. Dale and I, we had a small farm in Midway, which we were lucky enough, I guess, was the economy and the horse industry's tailed off. We were lucky enough to move it and get it sold, and now we lease part of Hopewell, and we still raise a few, train a few, prep a few, and we do it pretty much on our own now.
Mm-hmm.
Been on that for several years.
That's a nice piece of property, that Hopewell.
Oh, yeah, it's a beautiful place, and Rick Trance has been very good to us, and we lease just a small portion of it in the back.
Uh-huh.
And
you got something training out here.
Yeah.
I looked down one day, and here you came, just like a bad penny.
Yeah, well, old horsemen never die. We just keep turning left.
Yeah, right.
And I've got a three-year-old colt that we didn't get sold 2 years ago when the sale was so poor. And partly for reasons, probably. But he's turned out to be okay. He's better than an empty stall, but also he's just a mane and tail.
What was the name of that good old horse you had a few years ago?
That was old Laguna Hills.
Laguna Hills.
Yeah.
And he won at Keeneland for you how many years?
He won 6 consecutive Keeneland meets.
That's got to be a record.
Yeah. We think it is. You know, that old horse was something special. And he's still alive. We've got him there at the farm. He'll be 24.
Is that a bush
and,
heart?
And he's a member of the family for sure.
Yeah.
Not many horses can say they won 6 times consecutively at Keeneland.
No.
6 meets in a row.
Yeah, put him on the board of directors.
Put him on the board of directors, Jackie says. Hey, I got to catch up on my commercials here. I'll get right back to you, okay? Well, got to do something for Spendthrift.
Yeah.
A little different Spendthrift.
Yes, it is.
Well, last Sunday at Aqueduct, the Grade 3 Tempted was won by My Happy Face, 2-year-old filly from the first crop by Tears Wonderful. Bred by Spendthrift Farm in Shawhan Place, My Happy Face led all the way to take the 1 mile Tempted, putting down the early fractions of 22-2, 44-4, and 109-3 in a dead game performance after a heated duel with the fleet Cue the Moon, and she's a daughter of Malibu Moon, of course, is also a Spendthrift. She went into the Tempted off a head-bobbing second in the Grade 1 Frisette to Dreaming of Julia, who, in her next start, ran third in the Grade 1 Grey Goose Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Tis Wonderful is side 7 winners now, first crop winners, including the fast filly Scamoni, who won first time out at Churchill, then placed in $100,000 stakes. As a matter of fact, Four of his seven winners won their first starts, two more won their second starts, and eight more placed in their very first starts. And they, of course, they're just sitting on wins. Then there's been a strong demand for the Tis Wonderfuls at the sales. It has been because they look and they act like runners, and now they are running. Tis Wonderful was undefeated at two, won the Grade One Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes and the Grade One Iroquois, both at Hopeful, at Churchill, I mean, and he's by the Hall of Famer Tis Now. Get in touch with Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Fell, or Ned Toffee over at Spendthrift, 294-0030. The website, SpendthriftFarm.com.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is BristNet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information no one else has. In-depth trainer stats, detailed pedigree data, Brisk class, pace, and speed ratings, free membership, handicapping contests, exciting monthly giveaways. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover BristNet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, Bob Johns has sired nearly 50 winners in his first crop, three-year-olds this year, among them three stakes winners. Most recent winner was just last Sunday when Bobby Flay won a $47,000 maiden special at Santa Anita. Bob and John, you may recall, was an excellent two-year-old, broke his maiden at Del Mar and placing in Grade One stakes, but he was really good at three and four, winning Grade One stakes on his way to earning nearly $1 million. Bob and John's by seeking the gold out of the graded stakes winner Minister's Melody by Deputy Minister, and he stands at Pin Oak Stud. Look for weanlings by Bob and John. Mares and folders covered Keeneland. Also at Pin Oak, stallions Broken Vow, Cowboy Cal, Sky Classic. Broken Vow has 17 2012 stakes winners. It's the same every year for him. He's buying bridle. Cowboy Cal's a multiple graded stakes winner and millionaire. He's by champion Sire Giant's Causeway. His first foal's a yearling. Sky Classic, of course. Well, what can you say? Sired over 100 stakes horses, 59 stakes winners, and 6 champions. Inquires to Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens and see the website at PinOakStud.com. Hey, well, I'm talking to Shannon Wolfram. And you say that old horse is still out? You still
got? Yeah, he's there. He's starting to show his age quite a bit now, but he's there and hopefully doing well. And he's had a good life. They actually claimed him off me in his last start at Keeneland when he was, I think, 8 or 9, and he went to Churchill, and unfortunately they ran him in the slop down there. And that was a funny racetrack. He hated. He loved Keeneland. He hated Churchill. Wouldn't get out of a 2:10 trot at Churchill.
Right?
Yet his mother, she didn't like Keeneland. That was Shamaritan, the stakes-winning half-sister to Blushing John. And she didn't run well at Keeneland and did all her good work at Churchill. So you never know. But anyway, he got claimed, and they took him down there and ran him in the slop. And they broke going long in front of the grandstand. He never made it to the first turn. He broke down.
Mm-hmm.
So we went down there, and Dale went down and got him. And we bought him back and brought him home. He stayed in a stall for a year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What did you have to pay for him?
Well, we had to give $1,000 to get him back. And we brought him back. And he came home. We kept him in the stall for a year. And he's out now every day. He gets turned out. He stays out at night. He's not crazy about the stall. He's a stall walker at the racetrack. I had to keep him tied up all the time.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, he's doing great. And he still eats a hot mash every night.
What was he by? What was he by?
By Mogambo.
Mogambo, South American horse.
Yeah.
King Ranch had that horse, didn't he?
No, Peter Brandt.
Peter Brandt.
I had him.
Didn't he stand at King
Ranch? He was a Calumet when we bred to him. Was Shamaritan's first foal.
Yeah.
And so anyway, we couldn't get him sold as a weanling. I'll never forget. He was such a bad stall walker, Urschel, that even before he was weaned, he'd walk around the mare in the stall.
Oh, good Lord.
She'd stay in the middle of the stall, and he'd walk around the mare. And he went, and of course, he went backwards. He went clockwise. So we always wondered whether we shouldn't send him to Europe. But anyway, he won a bunch of races for us. When we didn't have two nickels to rub together, he'd win a race, whether it be, of course, at Keeneland, or he won several at River, and broke his maiden at Ellis.
Is that right?
Yeah. So it's good to
have. Did you run on dirt?
Dirt. He never liked the grass. I ran him on the grass one time at River, and he was second. But
was before Keeneland had a grass course, wasn't it? Anyway.
Yeah. They had. Yes, that's right. That's correct. So I had to think back there. But he's definitely loved the old dirt track at Keeneland.
Yeah.
He definitely.
So you bred him and everything.
Bred him and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got any mares you own now?
Yeah, we still got mares. In fact, we've got granddaughters and great-granddaughters of Shemeridan. That's Laguna Hills' dam.
Uh-huh.
And, we're still breeding a few and trying to raise a good horse.
Yeah, do you sell them? Or?
Yeah, we try to sell everything, because that's our source of income. And the ones that we don't get sold, we'll bring them over here and try to train them.
Yeah. How long you had a trainer's license now?
Since 1970, I think.
Yeah.
Long time.
I know you're that old.
I'm old. Let me tell you something. You ought to be glad I'm here around this place, Urschel, because as long as I'm here, you're not the oldest guy here.
Well, that's not true. that is for sure.
Now, the reason I ask about how much you had to pay, we had this old $5,000 claimer. We ran, and finally got claimed, and we had friends up there, got claimed at River Downs, and we said, watch him.
He was another one of those, every time you needed a little money, he'd get you
something, pay back to fifth. But somebody called us and said he didn't make the turn, and so we went up and talked to the old boy and had to give $300 for a three-legged horse. But we brought him home and kept him up and did all that stuff. He lived quite a while.
Well, yeah, he died pretty young, though. He was 17.
Well, I think he was an MRLS. He wasn't a mare, but that was the year, and he died right before they figured out, these things are going down.
Well, I think horses like that, the way I was brought up and working with some of the great horsemen in this area, Ted Carr included, and Johnny
Did you work for Ted?
Oh, yeah. I broke yearlings for Ted.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. He called me farmer because I'd come to work and have to come out of my coveralls before I'd jump on a yearling. And I think a lot of him, talented horseman. Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
And thanks, horse. Should have been a great horse trainer if he'd ever taken time to do it, because he could do it. But we owe that. The tradition back then, you remember, wasn't that the Gas House Gang that was down here at Green Tree?
Yeah,
with all their retired geldings? We owe it to these horses, and I'm very grateful that we see friends, Michael's Place, doing what they're doing.
Old friends,
friends. But we owe it to these horses that take care of us for such a period of time, to take care of them during their old age and give them good homes. And if we can't keep them in a, God, I understand expenses, we need to make sure they have a home to live out their lives.
Well, we're moving in that direction more and more now.
I think that's great.
There's a lot going on. Somebody we had in here not too long ago was, I forget who it was now, but... one of the big organizations.
Oh, they're combining a bunch of stuff. Remember, some kind of retirement thing going on?
Yeah, that's been a couple of weeks ago. I think I heard it, Urschel.
But we need to take care of them, and it's what we should have done, because the old timers did. They find them good homes. I mean, how I got started showing horses was Earl B. Smith, who trained at Keeneland for years and had a very popular gray horse called Colonel Stanley that ran it on the Keeneland Kentucky Circuit, which included Miles Park at the time. He made sure that he would give them to me to be hunter jumpers, and we'd do that with them, give them good homes. And that's what has to happen. And that was going on years ago.
Yeah.
But as the business got bigger, more numbers, more racing,
more horses,
then there were more casualties, unfortunately.
Well, and not only that, people are generations away from farms now. Yeah. The public, they don't know which end of a horse the oats go in, and it's just, it's been two or three generations now that they – No, what they were livestock anyway.
Mm-hmm. Miles Park, you bring it up. That was quite a place.
Oh, right? I go down in history. I ran last in the last race in the last night in Miles Park. Now my training career started off with bangs, didn't it?
Do you know that some of those old barns
are from Miles Park?
Right here,
Let me tell you,
they remodeled, but that's where they came from.
Really, tell you something. I'm old. I was one of the first people to rent stalls here in 1968. I'm a junior in high school.
When Arnold Pesson
and Dan Binghamson were over here.
Okay. All they had was the lower covered track.
Right, and it didn't even have a rail. It was covered, but it didn't have an inside or outside rail. Now, that's how far back I go.
You can cut the corners.
You can do it. So I've got a long history here at the training center, and for the most part, I've enjoyed it all. In fact, it's funny. We're over here. Tommy Mills was kind enough to let me use a stall, and we're back in Barn D, which is one of the big ones. And you know what? I walked in there in September when I first got back, and I was seeing people that I saw in there 35 years ago.
Yeah.
It's amazing,
so
isn't it?
It's kind of – and it's great to see them, and we all laughed and cut up and told stories, and it's Melvin Kendricks in there, and Sherman Mitchell, and Steve Casey. I mean, I go back with these people from day one.
Oh, I know. This season, yeah.
And Mr. Olson, he's in there.
Oh, yeah.
What a great guy he is. Yeah. And so, these, you know, I've been fortunate in my career to deal with some of the very wealthiest of the people that are in the industry. Mm-hmm. And I've also spent a lot of time with the people that are the small people in the game. And I hope we never forget about the small people in this industry, because they make such a big part of it.
Yeah, and they're such characters.
That's right. That's,
I mean, just right out here, you know, there's such a variety of personalities and characters, and it's fun to be out here, you know. I like everybody out here. There's always a jerk or two.
Well, sure.
Yeah, you know.
Well, we're all so competitive by nature. We all want to win, and it's like with my duties with the HPBA over the years, getting horsemen to stick together because of their competitive nature was always a tough go.
Herd of cats.
But you remember in the old days when you had a bad meet, and your competitors, your training buddies would get together and give you shipping money to get out of town. You remember those days? Yeah, I know you do. I don't know if that happens anymore, but I can remember everybody coming together and we have maybe put $20, $30, $40 together and give it to a guy to help him get out of town to get to the next meet and get started again. Yeah. And that's the way it was. A lot of camaraderie.
Yeah. Well, you know, people congratulate each other out here all the time now. I mean, just about everybody out here roots for everybody else when they're running, you know.
Sure.
Unless they're in the same race.
Unless they're in the same race.
I think you and I need to get in the donut business right up here at the main gate or something, because I've never seen so many donuts coming into those concrete barns on people winning races over there.
Oh, it's remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah, how much they win, you know. Well, I think the record for 1 month was 62 this summer.
Well,
we had stakes winners.
We've had six stakes winners out here in the last 3 or 4 months.
Well, I got to
including
meet
a quarter horse.
Well, I got to meet Troy Rankin over there, who had a horse in the Breeders' Cup, and that's a story in itself. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And it just shows that everyone's
another farmer, by the way.
Yeah. You can catch lightning in a bottle in this business.
Yeah.
And it levels the playing field, because we know of several identities that have spent a lot of money trying to win the Kentucky Derby and can't do it.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. You have some fellow that's got a mom-pa operation can raise a good one.
Bull Hancock.
Yeah.
One of the all-time great horsemen.
That's right.
Know. Took the boys to come. The boys did, but, you know, he did. And the daddy did, you know. A.B. Hancock Sr.
Right.
Bred jet pilot, you know.
That's right.
That was a Hancock horse. But Bull never did.
Well, you know, that's the beauty of the game. If we can all have a little bit of fun, and when a little person hits a home run, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to let you go.
Okay, my friend.
I'm glad you decided to, after 16 weeks trying to get to you.
Yeah, I heard you say earlier this morning I ran out of excuses. Well, I think I did. I was getting close. I said, well, I'm just going to have to go do this for sure. And I'm really glad I did. So.
You got some more to sail out there?
Yeah, we got one more shipping in on Monday, and then hopefully that'll work out well. So it's a Wingland, and we've been selling a lot of Wienlands of late. And
what's this one by?
Stephen Got Even.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a useful sire. He gets runners.
Yeah, he does.
He gets runners. So
yeah, jumps up a real good one every now and then.
That's right. So it's out of Shamarin's family, which is Laguna Hill. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, that's what we're doing, and see how it goes.
Well, good luck to you.
All right, my friend. I appreciate your time.
Shannon, good to see you, my friend.
You bet. And we got to keep telling these stories, you know. And I hope somebody listens. So
keep right on line.
That's exactly right.
All right. Say hello to Dale.
I'll do it.
Well, Henry the Navigator's the sire, George Vancouver, winner last Saturday of the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. He's the sire of Pedro the Great, winner of the Group 1 Phoenix Stakes in Ireland. He's the sire of Group 2 place Christopher Colombo, Group 3 place Alfonso de Sousa, Stakes place Infanta Branca, and a 14 2-year-old winners, all from his first crop of racing age. He is the nation's number one ranked freshman sire. Champion Henry the Navigator is returning to Europe for the 2013 breeding season, but you can find weanlings by and mares and fold his cover at the Keeneland Sales. Ranked second on the freshman sire list, Majestic Warrior. Majestic Warrior also ranks first on the juvenile sire list for a number of winners, with 21, four of them earners of black type. Maybe 22 now. By golly, he had another winner just yesterday. Anyway, they're winning so fast I can't keep up with them, the Majestic Warriors. A Grade 1 winner and a son of champion sire E.P. Indy, Majestic Warrior stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud, and you can also find weanlings by and mares and fold to his cover at the Keeneland Sales. For more information about the Coolmore Stallions, contact Ashford Stud. It's 859 number, 873-7088, and see the website at coolmore.com.
Bourbonfarms.com.
When Jack and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go.
And grade one winner, include me out, grade one winner summer soiree, grade one winner no such word, grade one winner check the label, plus winners of major stakes from coast to coast. Too many to mention here. Reasons enough to go to Barn 20 to check out the Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud Agent Consignment. Weanlings by Proud Citizen, Majestic Perfection, Divine Park, Brother Derek, Canadian Frontier, Include, Flashy Bull. Raised on the land where so many top stakes winners first saw the light of day. There, too, are Mares and Folder, Divine Park, Brother Derek, and Jockey Club Gold Cup winner Haynesfield. The latter mare, a young daughter of Mizzen Mass.
Information no one else has.
Do it again? How can I do that?
Will be run.
Steve, are you there?
Risk.com.
Yeah.
Okay.
Official data source.
You got to do that all over again. Airdrie breads of the last 4 years include Champion Proud Spell, Champion Biofuel, Champion 2 Andy Wee, Grade 1 winner Believe You Can, Grade 1 winner Include Me Out, Grade 1 winner Summer Soiree, Grade 1 winner No Such Word, Grade 1 winner Check the Label, plus winners of major stakes from coast to coast. Too many to mention here. Reason enough to go to Barn 20 to check out the Brad and C. Jones Airdrie Stud and Agent Consignment. Weanlings by Proud Citizen, Majestic Perfection, Divine Park, Brother Derek, Canadian Frontier, Include, Flashy Bull. Raised on the land where so many top stakes winners first saw the light of day. There, too, are mares and folded Divine Park, Brother Derek, and Jockey Club Gold Cup winner Haynesfield. The latter mare, a young daughter of Mizzen Mass, sired the winners of two Breeders' Cup races last weekend. And I have assisted to a winner of the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Once again, they're in Barn 20, and they sell tomorrow at Keeneland. Then, on Thursday, go back to Barn 20 for more weanlings raised at Airdrie Stud, where the land's alive. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All right, I believe I have Steve Moody here with me, and I think the feature down there today is the Cardinal. Is that right, Steve?
That's correct, Ursel, and they are back on the... They are back on the turf today, fast and firm. And, of course, the Cardinal is for fillies and mares, three and up, a mile and an eighth on the grass, a grade three stake. Field of nine, no scratches, and pretty well-matched group. The one-horse Busy Caroline is a filly by Fleet Alex that's really likes the Churchill turf course. She's done her best running there. Kenny McPeak trains her. Corey Lannery has the mount. I think she's got a big shot in here. The four horse Daisy Divine. It looks like the speed of the race. This is a filly by Calf Wayne for Andrew McKeever, and she has set a very good year this year. She's only started four times, but got two wins in a second. She won the Jenny Wiley at Keeneland in the spring, and then came back and was second in the First Lady in the fall. Both of those, of course, were grade ones, and she figures to go right to the front today and try to take this group every step of the way. Couple others here that I think you have to look at. The seven horse Indian Pond, a little bit of a decent price, 12-1 for Mark Cassie, that I think is going to be running at the end. And if the speed should happen to falter, I think her late, if she can muster that late run, I think she's got a shot in here. And then the bottom horse, Julie's Love for Graham Motion, another horse that's got tactical speed and should be in the hunt when they hit the stretch run. I'm going to take the speed in here, Ursel. Daisy Divine. I really don't see anybody to run with her today. I think she can get the lead by herself. Calvin Burrell, I just kind of let her go along under her own power and kind of back the field up and ought to have enough left to hold off the late runners. I'm going to give her the edge today. We're going to get Busy Caroline, who does her best running at Churchill. Going to take her second, and then the seven horse Indian Pond, a little bit of a price maybe to fill out the trifecta, take her a third. So 4-1-7 in the Cardinal handicap.
4-1-7 in the Cardinal handicap. This is Steve Moody, of course, with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. Steve, did you watch the game last night?
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
that was quite a story for the old local boy does well story. I was really happy for him.
The Poulsen you're talking about.
Right, yeah, from Nicholasville. And I don't know if you saw the picture this morning. It's been going around on Twitter, Ursel, of his mom and dad sitting in their living room, I guess, watching the game. And it's really a great picture.
Oh, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
Well, he played a good game. I don't believe he had a turnover, did he?
I don't think that he did. And, you know, he was just, just made two huge plays there in the second half, of course, in the last 5 minutes. You know, they had to put back on Noel's miss, and then he had the strip and the layup on the missed free throw from Colley Stein. And then, of course, you know, they give him the ball there at the end, and he steps up and drains those free throws like, cool as you can be.
Yeah. That's fun, isn't it? Yeah.
It was really a great great night for him, and you have to always just have to admire a kid that comes in there and starts out as a walk-on and knows he's not going to get a lot of playing time, but he comes in there and works hard and gets an opportunity like he had last night with the guy that's sick and just couldn't go, and he comes in. Not only does he not hurt the team, he essentially wins the game for him.
Just
pretty amazing.
Yeah, you know, this team's going to be all right. They're going to lose some games early, but I think by tournament time they're going to be tough.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they're obviously, I think, you know, watching them, you saw last night, you know, what happened in the second half, that, just makes you appreciate what you had last year.
Oh, I know, yeah.
That's a once in a decade or more kind of situation. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think by the end of the year, this will be
tough.
Pretty good group.
Yeah. All right, Steve. Well, thanks so much, my friend. It's Steve Moody with the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet. Of course, that's published by BRIS, Bloodstock Research Information Services. And you can go to the website. The best place to get that, which is brisnet.com. And, Steve, thank you so much.
All right, Ursel.
Talk to you next week. Well, November 3 at Churchill Downs, the grade $250,000 Chalukie Stakes was won by Brush by a Star, 4-year-old filly by Eddington, bred by Desmond Ryan, Barry Donworth, and Ken Donworth. Brush by a Star posted her third 2012 stakes win in the Chalukie. She won the grade 2 Molly Pitcher and the Iowa Distaff earlier this year. She's earned more than $441,000. Eddington has sired 5 2012 stakes winners. 3 of them are graded stakes winners. Brush by a Star, Secret Circle, and Gold Edge. Now, Secret Circle is one of the Grade 2 Rebel and the Grade 3 Southwest Stakes there at Oaklawn. Finished second in the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby, Grade 3 Sham Stakes, that's at Santa Anita. And he won stakes at Santa Anita last year. He's earned over $1 million. And the 2-year-old filly, Gold Edge, has won 2 stakes at Arlington, including the Grade 2 Arlington Washington Lassie. Eddington, a grade 1 stakes winner of over $1,216,000, buy and bridle, stands at Claiborne Farm, 5,000, duels win the foal stands and nurses. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website, claiborne.com. Well, tomorrow at Keeneland, Indian Creek's offering weanlings by Munning, Scat Daddy, Henry the Navigator, and City Zip, mares and foal to Indigo Shiner, Majestic Warrior, a stakes winner and foal to Champion Looking at Lucky, mare and foal to Cape Blanco, all from black type families. Now, Henry the Navigator is the sire in his first crop of George Vancouver, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, plus another colt that's won Group 1 Stakes in Ireland. Scad Daddy, last year's champion freshman sire, is the nation's number 2 ranked second sire, second crop sire. Majestic Warrior is the number 1 ranked sire of 2-year-old winners with 21 in his first crop. Munnings is a multiple graded stakes winner by Sprightstown. His first foal's weanlings. Looking at Lucky was a champion at 2-3. Champion Cape Blanco by the great Galileo won 3 grade 1 stakes and as many starts in this country. So take a good look at the Indian Creek Consignment and Barn 14. And here's more sound advice. To ensure your purchases, contact the Clay Ward Agency in Paris, Kentucky. The Clay Ward Agency has been insuring the world's finest thoroughbreds since 1931. And it is one of the most respected agencies in the world. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency. That's a winning combination. Well, while in Lexington for the sales, take the time to visit folks over at Vinery. They've got world-class facilities in Kentucky, New York, and Florida. They're well-equipped to take care of your every need in the thoroughbred industry. Telephone number there in over in this area, in Kentucky, of course, is 859-455-9388, and the website is vinery.com. Talk to John Gasper, Steve Castagnola, Francis Rillihan, or Grant Williamson. They'd be glad to show you around and to give you a good look at the stallions. So to foal your mare, to take them to the breeding shed for sales prep and sales for rehab, breaking or training, or for assistance from Steve Castagnola, that's Vinery's resident bloodstock agent, you won't find a farm anywhere better equipped to serve you than Vinery. They even have a very successful racing partnership program available. The number again is 859-455-9388. For John Gasper, Steve Castagnola, Francis Rillihan, or Grant Williamson, the website, vinery.com. All righty. Where are we? Jackie, you want to do some announcements?
Okay.
Let me west a little bit.
All right. I have to say first that I had a great day yesterday. I hit our Cub Cadet riding mower. Something went wrong with it, but it's just a year and a half old, and they have 3-year bumper-to-bump warranties on it. So I called them, blah, 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 and they sent me to a place called Moses over in Georgetown. Turns out that the guy that owns it, his name's McFarlane, and he used to work on our truck when he worked over at Nolan Ford in Georgetown. So that was great to see him again. He does a wonderful job. I'm just going to give you a heads up. It's right up North Broadway, which is US 25, if you're interested in having something done, because he doesn't know it yet, but when I go pick up the riding mower, he's getting a couple push mowers and stuff, whatever we got needs service, because he's really good. Nice guy anyway. He's in Georgetown, so that's 502-868-0761. And my other thing was, I went to Sally Vans because they service people's trailers. And a guy's name is Ben Eversole. Turned out he's the fleet and facility manager. Turns out he's from Cincinnati. We 15 minutes. Who do you know? And, you know, all that good stuff. But anyway, they work on your trailer, and they do stuff like if your trailer doesn't need it, you know, like bearings or whatever, they won't do that. But here's what's wonderful. I said, you know, our trailers pretty much came over on the Ark. It's so old, and it doesn't have shocks. And he said, I said, is there any way, you know, I like this trailer. And he said, it's a good trailer, but said, is there any way to put shocks on it? He said, no, wait a minute, I'm going to tell you what to do. Now I'm going to tell you all what to do. You know those plasticky kind of floor mats that they put down, people stand on in, when they work in stores and stuff. You know what I'm talking about? It's about, what's that, about an inch and a half thick, something like that. It's gray and it's got a lot of bubbles in it. They take those and cut them to fit each stall in the trailer. You put them down and then you put the regular mat on top of them and it's as good as shocks. He said, it's amazing. That's what Turnbow does, he said. Now that was just a nice little friendly tip from Ben Eversole over there at Sally Van. So let me give you his number, 513. That's because he's from Cincinnati. 675-8874. But I'm sure you can call Sally's number and get him.
open house today at Ashford Stud. That's today and tomorrow. Hot food served all day. See, we were wondering what we were going to do for lunch, right? Call Mel for a ride from Keeneland. They will take you from Keeneland. That's on account of sales. His number is 967-6265. Horse Park, the Horse Park stuff's slowing down. They'll have snowbird dressage and stuff before long, and then they have those games that they do indoors all winter long. But Southern Lights is what's happening. Now, they're going to open on Thursday, November 15th. Southern Lights, if you've been living under a rock for the last 20 years, they have beautiful lit displays of everything. Churchill Downs, they have horse races, they have a Santa Village. You drive your car, I think it's $15 a car. Yes. You drive through there. It's a long drive, too, isn't it? It's several miles. Anyway, it's kind of a Christmas tradition. The day before they open, Thursday, November 15th, they are going to have Wednesday. It's a stroll, and it's also a 5K. So if you're interested in that, give them a call at the Horse Park and check it out.
Be right back to you, Jackie.
All right.
Well, Ms. Direction, winner of the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, and Flotilla, winner of the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf, are both sired by Mizzen Mast. Ms. Direction was the only filly in a field of 14 for the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, and she came from 5 wide to win, missing the course record for 6.5 furlongs by just a fifth of a second, 111-1. Never out of the money in 12 starts, Ms. Direction won 7 times, 5 stakes, and has earned over $914,000. Flotilla was making her first start in the USA. Foaled in France, she went into the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf off a fourth, beating a length and a half after a trouble trip in Group 1 stakes. She won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies of Turf going away by a length and a quarter over 13 other well-bred fillies. Mizzen Mast has now sired 5 Grade 1 stakes winners. A Grade 1 stakes winner sprinting on the dirt, Mizzen Mast is at Judmont Farm, the home also of First Defense. Siring his first crop, 2-year-olds this year, of Dundonnell, winner of the Group 3 ACOM, second in the Group 2 Champagne, fourth of 14 in the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. To book a mare for 2013, get in touch with Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry at Judmont, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, the breeders of 5, the winners of, let me try to start that again. So many of them here, I don't know what to do. The winners of 5 of the Breeders' Cup races were raised on products from McCauley Brothers. Fort Larned, winner of the Grade 1 $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic, was raised at Frank Penn Jr.'s Penbrook Farm for breeder Janice Whittem. Shanghai Bobby, who clinched an Eclipse Award by winning the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile, was raised at Stonehaven Steadings. The winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, George Vancouver, was raised at Ashford Stud for breeder Capital Bloodstock. Winchell Thoroughbreds bred Tapazar, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. The winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile, Wise Dan, was bred by Mort Fink and raised at Patch and Wilkes Farm. And to top it all off, the Grade 2 Chalukya Stakes at Churchill was won by Brush by a Star, who was raised at Dell Ridge Farm for Desmond Ryan, Barry Donworth, and Ken Donworth. And Violence, winner of the Grade 2 Nazareth Stakes at Aqueduct, was bred and raised at the same Dell Ridge Farm. Now, that's 7 graded stakes winners, 5 of them Grade 1 Breeders' Cup events in one weekend for horses raised on products from McCauley Brothers. Now, tell me, why in the world would you go anywhere else? Call Mike Warren or David Longmire, 873-3333. Stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Well, Jim Fitzgerald, my friend down at Knott Griffin Farm, fox hunting today, I wonder, Jackie?
Yes. No, it's deer season. They've gone to Tennessee. He may be hunting at Tennessee Valley.
Don't they have deer season in Tennessee?
Not today.
No, okay. All right. Well, anyway.
I'll go in the woods now.
All right. Well, anyway, Jim, if you're not in Tennessee, I guess you're at Knott Griffin Farm in Parrish, Kentucky, which I'd much rather be, as a matter of fact. Jim owns Knott Griffin Farm, Got two farms down in that direction. Got one of them for sale, listed with Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers, by the way. Great place. I mean, a wonderful location. It's just a couple of miles off the Paris Bypass on 460. Great land. And so if you're looking for a farm, you couldn't do any better. And as I say, it's listed with Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. Of course, Jim has got the other place, you know, doing the same thing he's always done, raising runners and boarding and sales prep, and, sales, public, private, doesn't make any difference, rehab. He has top help, quality farm help, because he came up under the best, and he demands perfection when it comes to raising his horses. Not only that, Jim can give you some, if you're in the horse business and you're not doing too well, you're not too happy about it, thinking about getting into it, well, give him a call. He can give you some good, sound, common sense advice. It's somebody you can trust to steer you the right way. Here's his website. It's knockgriffinfarm.com, KNOCKGRIFFINFarm.com. And Jim's number down in Paris is 987-8032.
Help support the Kentucky Horse Park. They're having something they call Good Giving Guide Challenge 2012. This is the Kentucky Horse Park Foundation, which is a philanthropic organization to help support the horse park. So they are going to participate in the Good Giving Guide Challenge. Begins, it's already started. Bluegrass Community Foundation and Smiley Pete Publishing have an online campaign to start giving today. Make charitable. Anyway, let me see where you're supposed to go. Go to the Kentucky Horse Park, because if they get $5,000 donated to this business, they'll get another $5,000 to match it, and maybe. I don't know. Maybe it'll go to the horse park. I don't know. Anyway, back to something I understand. If you've got a barber coat, and I mean the kind that are rainproof, you can have these things rejuvenated. How about that? If you bring your barber coat to the Keeneland gift shop Tuesday. Hey, wait a minute. What's today?
10th.
Too late. You missed it. Too bad for you. Mine don't need rejuvenating. No, so
I do.
See, what do I care?
Send me.
Over. You missed it. Open house today at Adena Springs over in Bourbon County. 9:30 to 4:30, free hourly shuffle from Keeneland Sales Pavilion from 9 to 3. Hot food from Cajun Chef Tommy Walters.
Oh, sounds good.
I know. What? Let's see. To get to Adena Springs.
I'm glad Jackstown Road.
Jackstown Road. That's it. Just go out. Keep going till you see Jackstown Road and turn right.
Yeah, go out to Millersburg Road and turn right at the drive-in.
Exactly. And that's
one of the few remaining drive-in theaters.
Yeah.
We loved them when I was a kid.
Oh, I know.
Cheap place to park.
Oh, weren't you the devil in your day?
Yeah. Woo. I struck out more than Babe Ruth.
Strikeout king. That's funny. Oh, I already said about Sally Van, didn't I? Yes, I did. This weekend, what'd you say the date was?
The 10th.
The 10th, yeah. There's not much going on at the horse park, to tell you the truth. Snowball Series Mounted Games starts. What you need to do is go to the webpage, kyhorsepark.org. No, I think it's a .com. Macaulay's, oh, I got to say again, I figured out what was so good about Macaulay's longevity feed. Longevity is for old horses, and it was explained to me that if they eat something like a sweet feed, even if it's crimped oats, they can't digest that stuff. They can't chew it enough, so it winds up going out the other end, and you've lost money, and the horse doesn't have a whole lot of nutrition. So Macaulay's developed longevity.
And the way it works is in when they crunch it with their gums, when they gum it, it sort of pops open and dissolves in your mouth. And it came to me when I was eating Cheerios the other day.
You need some longevity?
No. But when you eat Cheerios, when you crush them, they dissolve in your mouth.
Yeah.
So that's how longevity works.
Okay.
I love it. And the old bird we got out there, 9-million-year-old horse, is starting to round up a little on longevity. Yeah, yeah. So he's looking pretty good.
Came in looking pole.
Poley. And they also have something called the M10 Balancer. That's a pelleted supplement for mature horses at maintenance or work with teeth. They should put if that dot, 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 with teeth.
Okay.
It's excellent. It's ideal mature, non-pregnant horses requiring little or no grain, overweight, blah, blah, blah. Give them a call. Call Mike Warren or David Longmire, 873-3333. And as always, Central Kentucky Riding for Hope. It's looking for volunteers if you're interested in helping out through the winter. That's a nice thing because it's an indoor facility. So, anyway, that's all I got.
All right. Well, Moose and Farr is compiling an impressive record for signing hard-hitting winners. From 9 first-crop starters, 5 have won, 2 others have placed. Mothiba has won 5 times in Europe. Placed in listed stakes. Gloom of Doom won a maiden special at Mountaineer, won again at the same track, placed in 5 other occasions. Fortune Afar won a maiden special and is placed 5 times, 4 times at Oaklawn Park. Ms. Mooston Far won a maiden special first time out, has 2 wins and a pair of thirds. Mookhammer also won a maiden special and came back to take an allowance race and has been second 4 times. Must Be Sweet placed in her 3rd start. She's just sitting on a win. Ragusa Prevail ran 2nd in his debut on October 22. Now, for those of you who breed to race Mooston Far, this could be the answer to your prayers. He's signing hard-hitting runners, stands at a very, very reasonable fee. He's a graded stakes winner. He won graded stakes at Belmont and at Keeneland, placed in grade 1 stakes, earned over $625,000. He's buying bridle. Call stallion manager Ken Barnes over at Shadwell Farm. Check the website, shadwellfarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at prisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2- and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, the brilliant Bodemeister is going to stand his first season of stud next year at Windstar Farm. Never worse than 2nd, Bodemeister sprinted a mile in 1:34.2 to break his maiden at Santa Anita. Follow that with a stunning 9.5-length victory in the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby. In his next start, in a dead-game performance, finished 2nd after setting all the pace in the Kentucky Derby. Got the first half in 45 flat, going a mile and a quarter. Good Lord. Anyway, that buried Trinidberg, who last Saturday won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup sprint, and Hansen. Then he held off such closers as Union Rags and Doolahan. Moving on to the Preakness, he again set all the pace, finished 2nd by just a quarter of a length. Retired with earnings of over $1,300,000, Bodemeister has a fantastic pedigree. He's by the classic winner and classic sire Empire Maker, the sire of, among many others, Champion Royal Delta, 2 times winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly and Mares Classic. And he's out of untouched talent, a graded stakes winner by Stormcat. Bodemeister's 2nd dam is a graded stakes winner by Parade Queen. She's by AP Indy. And his 3rd dam is Spanish Parade, a stakes winner and graded stakes producer. And she's by Roberto. Doesn't get any better than that. Bodemeister at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy or Leanna Dempsey. The website, windstarfarm.com. All right, got to take care of my good friend David Schweitzer over at the KTA in Toba. And let's take note of this. Of the 15 Breeders' Cup races, 11 of them were foaled in Kentucky. 11 of them. Two were foaled in France, one foaled in Argentina, and one foaled in that other foreign country, Florida. So that's a pretty good record. 11 of the 15. Pretty good, pretty good. We can still raise a run around this area, can't we? Well, anyway, Fort Larned, went to the Breeders' Cup Classic. Was bred by Janice Whittem in Kentucky, of course. I'm going to name the Kentucky ones, by the way. Wise Dan, winner of the Breeders' Cup Mile, was bred by Morton Fink. Trinenberg, winner of the Breeders' Cup Sprint, was bred by J.M. Stables. Who's up next? Little Mike. Well, Little Mike wasn't. That's one down the Florida State. Anyway, Shanghai Bobby is going to be the champion 2-year-old. He's by Harlan's Holiday, who's out at Windstar Farm. Was bred by Stonehaven Steadings. Ms. Direction is by Mizzen Mast, who, of course, stands over at Judmont Farm, and bred by Joseph Parati. And I want to say a little something about Ms. Mast here, if I have time. Tapazar won the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. He was bred by Winchell Thoroughbreds. Groupie Doll, who won the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint, was bred by Fred and William Bradley down in Frankfort. George Van Cooper, winner of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. He's by Henry the Navigator, who's been over here at Ashford Stud. He's going back to Europe, Ireland, I'm sure, for the 2013 season. Anyway, Capital Bloodstock bred that one. He was foaled over at Frank Penn's. Royal Delta, winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, was bred by Paladese Investments. Skip that French bread. Beholder was bred by Clarkland Farm. Of course, that's Fred and Nancy Mitchell right over here on the Bryan Station Road. Flotilla, I've got to mention it because she's the other Mizzen Mast. She was foaled in France, though. But she overcame that and won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. And let's see, other winners, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Sprint, Hightail, was bred by Green Hills Farm. And I think we've got some more back here, too, that didn't run in the, if I can find the damn things. Here we go. Boisterous, who won a Red Smith Handicap Grade 2 at Aqueduct, is by Distorted Humor. Cynthia Phipps, of course, he was foaled over at Claiborne Farm. Brushed by a Star by Eddington, who stands at Claiborne Farm. Won the Chalukie Stakes, grade 2 down at Churchill, bred by Des Ryan and Baron Ken Donworth. Neck and Neck, who won the ACAC, grade 3 at Churchill Downs. Stephen Miles Jr. was the breeder of that. The Maple Leaf Stakes up in Canada. Smart Sting was bred by Adina Springs, over right here in Kentucky. The Smart Halo Stakes at Law, Lighthouse Bay, another Sprite's Town. Bred by Richland Stables. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint Preview Stakes. Gabriel Charles won that, and Doris Tomilo bred that one. The Damascus Stakes, which was run out of Santa Anita, Politically Correct, bred by Ken and Cyril Ramsey. And to round it up, the Crown Stakes at Delaware, Sigureya was bred by Brereton C. Jones. So that's pretty good, I would have to say. I wanted to say something. I was talking about Mizzen Mast, who sired those two Breeders' Cup winners, and I like that horse. I like him right from the beginning, and it tickles me that he's doing good with the two winners of the Breeders' Cup races, and he's by Cozine, who was foaled in 1980 by Cairo, who was out of Ride the Rails by Prince John. Of course, Prince John went to stud over here at Elmendorf Farm and then moved over to Spendthrift in his later years. Cozine was bred by, bred and owned by John Nayrud, and his son Jan Nayrud trained him. He was champion grass horse back in 1985. Didn't race as a 2-year-old, won his first time out at 3. At Belmont Park, that was in May. Kane didn't start again until toward the end of July. And he ran second going 6 furlongs at Saratoga. Then he won once again at Saratoga, sprinting 3/4 mile, 109.3. So he had some speed. He could sprint a little bit. Came back and won in a 7-furlong allowance race at Belmont Park. His first try at stakes was in the Jamaica Handicap at Belmont. He ran fifth. Then his last start as a 3-year-old, he was second by a head to Bet Big in the Palisade Stakes at the Meadowlands. He was going a mile in the 16th. As a 4-year-old, he came back in May at Belmont Park, ran second, going 7/8 of a mile to Fit and Fight. If I'm not mistaken, was by Chieftain. I believe that's right. On May the 28th, he ran fourth to Fit and Fight in the Grade 1 Metropolitan Mile. Next start was in the Jiper Handicap. He ran out of the money in that. That was his, went back to 6 furlongs. Then on June the 23rd at Monmouth Park, he made his first start on grass, going a mile and a 16th, and he won by 3/4 length, beat Wild again. Yeah, he came back in his next race and ran second in the United Nations Handicap to Heroes Honor. This guy beat a length and a half, going a mile and 3/16. Moved over to Saratoga, he ran third in the Bernard Baruch, got beat a length. Horse named Wynn won it. That was at 9 furlongs. Then he ran third in the Grade 1 Man of War, going a mile and 3/16 to Majestic's Prince and Wynn. He won a division of the Cliffhanger Handicap at Monmouth Park, a mile and 16th, 140.2. All this on the grass now. On October the 24th at Belmont, he ran a mile in 133 and won by 4. That was an allowance race. And his last start as a 4-year-old, he was third in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile. Got to be 3/4 length by Royal Heroine. And then at 5-year-old, in 1985, he won his first start on the dirt, Belmont Park, going 6 furlongs. 7 days later, or 17 days later, he ran third in the Wise Ship, going 7/8 of a mile. That was on a turf. Sitz Park won it. He came back and on the dirt and ran third in the Jiper to Mount Livermore, who ended up like he did over here at Gainesway. Won the Grade 3 Ocean Park Handicap at Monmouth Park on the grass, won by 3. He loved Monmouth Park. Went to Saratoga, ran second into Bernard Baruch again, got beat a neck by Wynn. Then he won the Longfellow Handicap on the grass, going a mile and an eighth, won by 2 lengths. Ran sixth in the Cliffhanger Handicap at Monmouth. They took it off the turf that day, and it was run on a sloppy track, and he didn't handle it. In his last start, he won the Breeders' Cup mile by 2.5 lengths over Palace Music and Al Mamoon. A field of 14. Palace Music, and ran second, incidentally, went on to Sire Cigar. At stud, Cozine was very, very successful. Sired 70 stakes winners. Alphabet Soup won the Breeders' Cup Classic, earned pretty near $3 million. Star of Cozine won the Arlington Million. He won the Man of War. He won the Caesars International, all grade one. Tikkanen won $1,599,000, including the Breeders' Cup Turf. Cozine's Prince was a Horse of the Year up in Canada. Environment Friend was a champion in England. Santa Amelia was a champion older mare in Canada. Greyway was a champion in Italy. Hasten to Add was a champion turf horse in Canada. Mizzen Mass won Grade 1 Stakes Sprinting, going on the dirt in the USA. He was a group stakes winner in, on the grass board. And, of course, side 5 Grade 1 stakes winners. Now, Cozine was by Cairo, who was imported from France and stood over here at Spencer Farm. I remember when he came in. He was gray. That's where all this gray is coming from. He was a foal in 1967, foal in Ireland. He won the French 2,000 guineas. He was by Fortino. He was by Great Southern. Out of a mare named Chambord. Fortina was a sprinter. Chambord, however, she was good at 2 miles. Won the Newmarket Oaks, won the Liverpool St. Ledger, and she could run all day. He went to stud, Cairo went to stud in France, sired 12 Group 1 stakes winners over there, 5 champions, led the sire list in 1977 in France. Then he was imported to this country in time for the 1978 breeding season. Mr. Combs syndicated him for $4.6 million. very successful in this country. He sired 20 grade one stakes winners. He sired 9 champions in 5 different countries. Daughters produced 16 grade one stakes winners, including, well, Maria's mom is out of a Kay Romare, and I believe Unbridal Song is out of one. I'm pretty sure that's correct. But if I'm not, I'll hear from somebody. But anyway, Cozine was a very, very successful sire. So, and I like that sire line. Miz and Mash can give you an outcross to just about every kind of, you know, Mr. Prosper for Stormcap mares and so forth. And he's a very underrated stud horse over at Judmont Farm. Well, last Sunday at Aqueduct, the Grade 3 Tempted Stakes was won by My Happy Face, 2-year-old filly from the first crop by Tis Wonderful. Bred by Spendthrift Farm and Shawhan Place, one of my neighbors down in Spendthrift at, in Bourbon County. My Happy Face led all the way to take the 1 mile Tempted, putting down early fractions of 22-2, 44-4, and 109-3 in a dead game performance after a heated duel with the fleet Q the Moon. That's a daughter of Malibu Moon, who, Tears Wonderful, stands over at Spencery Farm. She went and did the Tempted off a head-bobbing second in the Grade 1 Frisette Stakes to Dreaming of Julia, who ran third in last week's Grade 1 Grey Goose Breeders' Cup Juvenile Filly Stakes. Tears Wonderful has sired 7 first crop winners now. Also, one of them is the Schimoni, won first time out at Churchill and then placed in $100,000 stakes. As a matter of fact, 4 of his 7 winners won their first starts, and 2 more won their second starts. 8 more have placed in their very first starts, and they're just sitting on wins. There's been always been a strong demand for the Tis Wonderfuls at the sales because, you know, they look and they act like runners. Well, and now they are running. So Tis Wonderful was undefeated at 2. Won the Grade 1 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes and the Grade 1 Iroquois, both those at Churchill, of course. He's by Hall of Famer Tiz now. Stands at Spendthrift Farm, inquiries to Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Fell, Ned Toffee, 294-0030, and the website is SpendthriftFarm.com.
I'm heading down the highway, had a dear friend in old time.
Alrighty. Oh, well, I want to say something. That Barbara Hunter passed away. She owned, of course, Brownwood Farm out Harrodsburg Road, and been in kind of in the horse business all her life, I guess. She was from Montana. I didn't know that. And she became involved in the horse industry back in the 1950s. And she used to kind of focus on developing and producing female families and sell the colts at the farm and keep them in the fillies to race and eventually add them to a broodmare band. She bred Patty Canyon, who was a wonderful race mare. She won 18 races, won 6 stakes back in the 1960s. Stanley Reeser trained for her. Most recent runner was Kitana, who fourth generation Hunter mare, incidentally, and she earned over $1 million. She also was Sands Ark. She had Duckweed, Harness Hitch, Dogtooth Violet, Snowtop Mountain. Since 1996, her horse has won like 14 stakes races. I don't know what they're going to do with the farm Tom Proctor trains for her. Now, Steve Casey, a friend of mine who trains out here, used to get some horses from a farmer. Steve worked off with Ms. Hunter for years and years, breaking their yearlings and doing everything at on the farm and everything. And he always had some horses out here that he does very well. Steve does extremely well with whatever he has. He's a very good horseman. He used to ride races back in his ute. But anyway, Ms. Hunter was a lovely lady, and she will be missed. And everybody in the horse business around here knew her.
Didn't she have a house down on High and what is that street?
She lived on the farm.
Oh,
Yeah, she lived on the farm.
I thought she had a house.
You go
in
out
town,
to Nicholasville
too.
Road out, not in Harry. I want to say it's Harrisburg Road, and it's out there on the left.
Yeah.
Before you get to what is the name of that word? Catnip.
Catnip Hill.
Catnip Hill Road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just had it in my mind somehow that she lived in town too, but maybe not. Okay, yeah. I pass.
Well, we've had since last week's show, we've had 7 winners from out here. Amalio Garcia won a race. Now that's Paul Garcia's dad. Eduardo Caramori won one. Donald Hunt, Wayne Mogi, Jimmy Cargan, Eduardo Caramori won another one, and then last night at the Mountain, Brian Michael, Rhea Saddle winner, first race, Any Given Chance. And Brian does very good too. This one belonged to Alan Tannenbaum. Alan used to ride races around here, and this is one of Alan's. And so, congratulations to both Brian and to Alan.
He's another Sayre School grad.
Who's that?
Brian Michaels.
Is he? I don't know. I'll have to ask him.
Ask him. I thought so.
Yeah. Well, like I say, I went through the 4th grade there before they kicked me out.
I know. It was that or close the school.
Yeah. All righty. Well, we're talking about some of the races of the Kentucky Breds. That thing at Fort Lauderdale that won the Breeders' Cup Classic. I was rooting for the horse that ran second and third. Flat out ran third. He trained out here. And, of course, he's a Florida bred, but I was rooting for him anyway because he belongs to Preston Staples. That's Art Preston. Nice people out here. Tim Hsu, we had on the show last week. And Frank Betancourt. They're nice people. They're neighbors of ours. Next road down. What's that next road to Harper? No.
On 460?
Yeah, next road down. I never can remember.
Hawkins
Cummins. I think the farm's back up in there. And of course, Mucho Macho Man. I've always admired that horse. He's just a dead game. I mean, he's just game horse. And he's about Macho Uno stands over it. I didn't pick any winners, which is about par for the course for me. So
you have to take lessons from Michael. Michael's a good handicapper, isn't he?
Well, he says he is.
Well, yeah, that's true. He could be a good liar.
Yeah.
On the other hand.
Well, I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
If you bet every race, you're bound to hit one.
Bet every race, you're bound to hit one. See, he does those 10-cent superfectas.
Yeah, he was talking in here earlier today. He was winning.
$1,900.
Yeah, I think it cost him $1.98 or something like that.
No, that one cost him, I think, $8.40. Depends on how many you do. See, I decided I was going to do that, right? So I went up and gave them $12 and got 2, 4, 6, 8, 10.
No.
Well, the odds of 2, 4, 6, all even number coming in like that is astronomical, and I lost my stupid $10 or $12, and I got schooled. Thank you very much, and Keeneland got my money.
Yeah,
but the grass is so green.
Grass is so green.
Lost is our money.
Oh, yeah, that's why the grass is so green at Keeneland. They take your money. Oh, okay, digest that one. So, next week, we are on.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to announce that. Normal time.
Normal time. What are they not playing football?
7.
Oh.
9.
The funeral sessions.
I hear music in the background. Are we late or something?
No, we're about there.
Okay. Son of a gun.
Do you hear that music?
No, I don't have earphones on.
Maybe.
I hear stuff all the time.
Maybe it's my time. Good Lord, here I go. Here I come, sir. Whatever. Who was it?
Here I come, Elizabeth. It's the big one. Here I come. That was Sanford and Sons.
Yeah, right. I was hearing that anyway. Well, it's again, Kentucky Breds cleaned up at the Breeders' Cup, 11. Of the 15 winners were foaling Kentucky.
Looks like we're going to get
two in France, one in Argentina, and one in Florida.
And it looks like we're going to get casinos.
Well,
hopefully they'll be at the racetrackios.
Well, yeah, I don't know why we don't go for those other things that they got down at Ellis Park and those places.
Oh, slots?
Yeah.
Slot by any other name is a slot.
Yeah, well, whatever. You're not supposed to say that, but anyway.
Oops. Not, well, anyway, not we're a on, thing I'm not supposed
we're
to.
We're on next week, and I think it's time to bail out.
10 till noon.
Mary Jane, thank you down at the studio, and Rusty Dukes, thank you here, and thank you all for listening. If you did, if not, well, poo on you, and we'll talk to you later.
He never thanks me.